100 to the floor with no recommendation. Further discussion on the motion? Go ahead, President Thompson.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to try to move that amendment in there. Again, it's a pro-gun amendment. It's 503C3. It's the groups that go out in public and use guns in, for fundraisers. I think it's a pro-gun amendment. I think it's a good amendment, and I'd still like to try to move that into the bill.
President Thompson, we have a motion on the floor. That motion is out of order to move amendment into a motion.
I understand.
Unless the maker of the motion would like to withdraw his motion. He's already stated he does not wish to do that.
Still don't wish to do that.
Further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to move this piece of legislation through the democratic process. Everyone knows that I've been a protector of that over time. I will continue to do that. This is not an easy decision that I made along with some of the others to let this process go forward. I'm a gun owner. My favorite rifle is a 270, and I'm sure the chair knows about those kind of rifles. It's a very flat trajectory, and where I live, it's a wide open country, and you need to have something that gives you a very flat trajectory. I've had a lot of enjoyable and continue to have many enjoyable days or hunting with my children and with friends. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that we need to protect that. I do not see this as an erosion of that, because I also believe that we need criminal background checks. And those who disagree with that concept obviously will disagree with this bill. And I respect the people that do that. And I've had many phone calls. Obviously, as probably everyone realizes, the last few days, I've answered a few of those, only the ones that were the most, I guess, antagonistic. I always challenge to talk to those people. I talked to a person last night. If they believe in criminal background checks, usually you move them at least to where they're neutral or to where they say, yes, that's reasonable. When you ask most of the people that called me, I have to tell you this to the public, that when you ask them the question, do you know what's in Senate Bill 700, very few of them really knew what was in the bill. All we have here, in my opinion, is a simple situation of treating people equitably. Gun dealers now, we all know, are checked at the gun shows. They do have to, or they require a criminal background check. And I find it very inconsistent in my thinking that if two people are selling guns at a gun show, the purchaser can go to one of them and not be criminally background checked, and the other one they can. And is this the answer to Columbine? It certainly is not the answer, and that is not why I had participated in this process with the Senate Bill 700. It has nothing to do with Columbine. It has to do with keeping our streets as safe as we possibly can. And probably everybody in this committee knows that there have been people turned down through the criminal background checks. I think out of the 135,000 or something like that, since June of 1996 till early 1999, there was about 3,750 people turned down with because of criminal background checks. And over a third of them were people that were felons. So does this ensure that we won't have any more Columbines? Obviously not. But I will invite anyone to discuss with me the fact that this is a move to try to reduce the number of handguns and people that are inappropriate to own them. And it can have a positive effect if we reverse the situation and say, let's not have any criminal background checks, because then that will reduce the number of people with handguns or long rifles that are not appropriate to own them. I don't think anyone's going to win that argument with me. It's a move in the right direction. It's a very little move. It's something that I believe that I absolutely believe Oregonians will support someone overwhelmingly at the polls or at the voting booth. All polls indicate that in my district as well. I have to tell you, I've had response are letters and primarily email and faxes from my district. They actually are slightly ahead in my district of supporting the measure. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity. I just wanted an opportunity to get my reasoning on the record of why I'm doing this today. I think it's the right thing for my district. It's the right thing for Oregonians.
Further discussion? Representative Thompson.
Mr. Chair.
I also am a gun owner and do not want to see our gun rights eroded. But in the Columbine incident, it's a problem of mental health of those individuals. It's a problem that I worry about, that when we underfund mental health, we underfund school counselors, these kind of things can happen. The guns themselves that were used in Columbine, two of them were traced back to gun shows. That probably had an effect on my willingness to have this bill move forward. I again state my intention was to have a fair public hearing, to let both sides come forward, give their testimony, and make the decision. But since that process didn't work out in the way that I would hope it would, I am sure that I'll vote for this to go to the floor and have the hearing on the floor.
Any discussion?
Chair.
Representative Knoll.
Yeah. We've heard a lot about Columbine today. However, to my knowledge, no one has suggested that if Colorado had had a gun show background check or whatever you want to call it, that those guns still wouldn't have been sold to that individual. So that evidence may surface at some point, but to my knowledge, it has not. So I think that's kind of an irrelevant issue. All of our constitutional freedoms, to some degree, have been restricted over the 220-plus years that we've had here. And I think it's incumbent upon those who want to restrict those freedoms to make the case for it. And I don't believe that the case has been made that further restrictions against law-abiding citizens are necessary. I made the motion, however, I'm going to vote against the motion. I will vote against the bill on the floor.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Any none, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Lundquist.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Marquette.
Aye.
Representative Gardner.
Aye.
Representative Atkinson.
No.
Representative Knoll.
No.
Chair Byer.
No. I haven't received the required number of votes. Senate Bill 700 moves to the floor without recommendation. Representative Lundquist and Representative Thompson will co-carry the bill. This is closed. We will now move to Senate Bill 787. Please, if you're actually in the room, please do so quietly. We have work to do yet in our committee. We will go to Senate Bill 787. We'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 787. Kind of burst your bubble a little bit, Ryan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brian.
Brian, we need to let Mr. Putman give us a little introduction on the bill first. Thank you for being so energetic. Wanted to get a little press before it leaves, I understand. Mr. Putman, whenever you're ready.
787. Mr. Chairman, this bill allows changes the definition of a project for workers' comp purposes. One of the definitions in the current law is that they have construction value in excess of $100 million. This changes that to 90, and it, there are other restrictions that are lifted with this bill.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Bowe. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brian Bowe, and I'm here this morning representing the National Association of Independent Insurers. We ask for the introduction of Senate Bill 787 to delete the sunset and make some other minor changes to the statute regarding owner-controlled insurance projects, which are also commonly called wrap-ups. And with me here to briefly explain what the bill does is Mark Hall of Argonaut Insurance. Argonaut is a member company of the NAII and one of the industry leaders in this type of insurance project. So with that, I will let Mr. Hall.
Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, as Brian said, my name is Mark Hall. I work with Argonaut Insurance Company and run the office here in Portland and am a resident of Portland. An OSIP, or a wrap-up, is an insurance program sponsored by an owner of a large construction project. The insurance program is paid for by the sponsor and provides the insurance for almost all of the contractors while they work on the project. TriMet was such a sponsor during the construction of light rail. Intel is such a sponsor during the construction of its facilities. Prior to 1995 in Oregon, it took specific legislation to allow these wrap-ups. In 1995, there was a law, SB 1047, that allowed wrap-ups that met certain requirements but without specific legislation. But it had a sunset clause in it and some other restrictions. And the thing I'm here to talk most about is lifting the sunset clause. We did have a meeting prior to this bill that included trade unions, insurance agents, DCBS were represented, and all the parties the changes here in SB 787. The benefits of the wrap-up are listed there in my testimony. I won't review them all, but probably the most important is it provides a safer work site for workers, and there's a lot of evidence that you have fewer injuries under such a program. Exhibit 1 lists some of the people that have expressed their support of wrap-ups, primarily because they've had successful ones, and Exhibit 2 let you know that it's a popular program in many other states. Some of the projects that have been completed under these OSEPs are or are underway are the Metropolitan Wastewater Management Project, the TriMet Band Field, the PGE Pipeline Project, Oregon Arena, and some of the current ones are Nike, Intel, Portland Airport, and BES. Besides removing the sunset clause, there's some other provisions in there. One is lowering the threshold from $100 million to $90 million. The idea being it is a successful program. Lowering the threshold may permit some additional ones to qualify. DCBS has provided some additional safeguards. They've had in the original legislation some special provisions that all of these had to be run through their organization. Not necessarily they had to provide insurance, but they had to take a look at it. So it eliminates that special provision. It also provides some extra protection by extending the cancellation time from 60 days to 90 days. Thank you.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, not a question or comment. I happen to sit in the fair buyer's position in 95, and I know that Portland came in, I can't remember exact details now, but they wanted some changes for this type of thing with these big projects. And so I'm pleased to see these things going forward and being useful enough in the industry.
Any other questions, comments? If not, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 787 Gross? If not, we will close the public hearing and open our session on Senate Bill 787.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill. See, do we have amendments? I guess not. 787, but we don't have any amendments, do we?
I don't think so.
787 to the floor, do pass recommendation.
Representative Lindquist has moved that we move Senate Bill 787 to the floor with the do pass recommendation. Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gardner.
Aye.
Excuse me. Having received the required number of votes, Senate Bill 787 is moved to the floor. And we need a carrier for that bill. Representative Lundquist. Representative Lundquist will carry Senate Bill 787, and we'll close the work session. We'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 938, and we'll get a little rundown from the committee administrator.
Mr. Chairman, this bill simply allows stockholders to vote their proxy by electronic means. The current law requires that a proxy be written. This bill makes an exception, says that a proxy, I'll start over. It says that the electronic record can serve as a written proxy, in essence. Mr. Bregden.
Peter Bregden?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Peter Bregden. I'm an attorney with Stoll Reeves in Portland, and I'm here today to speak on behalf of Senate Bill 938, on behalf of the business law section of the Oregon State Bar, which has drafted this legislation. And the summary that you just heard is essentially correct. We wanted to explicitly authorize proxy voting over the Internet, by telephone or by facsimile, and very briefly, there are a few goals. Right now, shareholders in Oregon corporations vote by proxy, and it's typically by mail on paper proxies, and we see increasingly around the country other states adopting laws permitting electronic proxy voting, and what we'd like to do is provide Oregon corporations and their shareholders what shareholders in other states have by updating the law. We also think this would be a way to encourage shareholder participation in corporate governance in the state. Probably would save some money for corporations in terms of the mailing costs and the cost of tallying proxy votes, and provide some clarity in the law, because right now it's just not explicit that you can vote by electronic means. So we've not heard of any opposition to our legislation. We have some proposed technical changes to it that I've provided to the committee, and would be glad to discuss with you.
Chairman, the proposed amendment, while written, is still in the concept form, and with the committee's permission, I would go to LC to get them.
Mr. Chair, this bill, I would like to see the amendments, but I also want to discuss with Representative Hale. He is an expert, I know, I feel, you know, in this building on this sort of an area, and I will ask him if he would like to look at the bill, and maybe we would loan it to his committee to come back for a recommendation to come back to our committee, because I firmly believe that Representative Hill is the expert in the area of electronic and this sort of an issue, and so I will discuss the issue with him, and if he thinks that they need to look at it, then I will make that recommendation to the committee that we loan it to them.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions regarding what you're wanting to do. How do you, legally determine that a telephone transmission or somebody voting by telephone has taken place? I mean, with a paper ballot, obviously you have a signature and,
right,
you know, you've got something that says yes or no or whatever. I'm just a little bit concerned how we verify that.
Right. That's something that we've thought about. We're not aware of problems in other states, and the bill does provide that there has to be some mechanism of confirming that the proxy has been authorized. I think basically the way it works is through a PIN number, similar to using an ATM machine or something like that. And that's certainly the case. Actually, Oregonians are already voting this way with respect to matters for companies in other states. It's just that it's not explicit.
Representative Atkinson, do you have a question?
Several questions. I just don't have a voice for several questions. First of all, would you communicate with the shareholders that it'll either be by mail or by whether proxy could be taken over the Internet, one or the other, or are you going to find yourself in a situation where you have to send out a mail proxy and make it available on the Internet? This is curious.
I think the goal is not to have it absolutely to provide an alternative, but not a replacement for current means of voting. And the way I've seen it done in other states is that you receive a mail, a piece in the mail, and you have a choice there to go to the internet to cast your vote or to do it a different way. And you can select at that time whether you in the future want to receive all of your communications electronically. So it opens up the choice, but doesn't require somebody to do it that way.
Representative Atkinson, we're going to kind of wait until your voice gets better. We're going to bring this bill back. We're going to loan it probably to Jim Hill to take a look at it in the Commerce Committee. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing now on Senate Bill 938. We're going to close.
Recess.
We're going to recess committee.
Committee until 6 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Session at 10?
You don't really have
10:30.
10:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of
it's 10:30.
Good.
Did you
didn't tell me.
Huh?
Oh, my. Blown my nose, lost my voice.
What's your name?
Yeah, but I didn't have a voice for a stupid day.